The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yes, Tánaiste Micheál Martin is still with me to place his favourite book, amongst others, on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. A Fine Balance by Rohinton Mystery was placed on the bookshelf last week by the author Liz Nugent. Tánaiste, thanks a million for doing this. So what book is going up on the bookshelf?
A Perdigon by Colin McCann.
Okay, tell us about it.
And it's a book essentially, it's a hybrid novel, he calls it, and it revolves around the life of Bazam and Rami. Bazam Aramin is a Palestinian whose daughter was killed by a rubber bullet, Abir, aged 10. And then Smadr, the daughter of Rami, was killed by suicide bombers in 97 in Jerusalem. And they both meet and they form parents' circle. And they then travel to spread the message of reconciliation. And the idea of reconciliation across Israel and across the world.
Mm.
But the book is an extraordinary book because it starts kind of with birds and the history of birds in Iran. I never realized that the intersection around the Middle East is kind of your the greatest intersection where birds meet on their various travels. You learn all this fascinating detail from McCann, you know. And so, for example, he talks about the Ortolan bird. He talks about in ancient times they'd killed a bird with sort of slings. And stones and so on. Then you turn over the page and then you're into the last 10 days of the life of Mitterrand, who apparently on his deathbed summoned his people to capture some ortolans. He wanted to feast himself on them. And so they go out on the hunt down these tiny little exquisite birds who are now nationally protected in France, and they summon the best chefs around. They come to Mitterrand's quarters and they cook the birds, and you have to eat the bird. You cover your face in a handkerchief so God doesn't see you eating the birds. And Mitterrand really kind of, you know, eats the birds, and you have to, you know, this is the bit that's not the most tasty, but anyway, you chew the bird whole.
Right.
You crumble the teeth, or the bones, which cut your gums a bit, and the blood acts as the sauce for the meat.
Right.
So you get this detail.
Page two, right? We're going to have the book.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, what am I doing reading about Mitterrand's last 10 days? Yeah. And then he sort of said, that was Mitterrand's last meal, I think he says dramatically. And anyway, it moves on, of course, in the more serious business of the two men who have lost their daughters. It then goes through... and it's a Perdigon, it's kind of infinite sides to the question. So it's around the concept of infinity. There's infinite sides to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. In many ways, he's playing that out in the book.
Yeah.
And you have all these, I mean, for example, Philippe Petit, who is the great French, or is he French? The tightrope walker. I don't know if you remember in the 70s, I think he did.
He walked between the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was French.
Now, he appeared in Colin McCann's book, Let the Great World Spin, which is a brilliant book. Now, he makes an appearance here as well.
Okay.
Right. Another fascinating sort of funny piece where he crosses the tightrope from, I think, Israel into Palestine, across a valley or whatever. He gets a dud bird, in the sense that the bird is in his pocket as he's walking across, and he wants to free this dove of peace. He thinks it's a dove. The bird flies, but can't fly very far. And he feels the claws sticking into his shoulder as he's on the wire going across midway. The crowd's roaring applause, thinking this is part of the show, but it's not. And it's deadly dangerous and he could fall. And he's trying to shrug the board off. So it's this kind of, McCann is a genius as far as I'm concerned. But then the more, you know, you go through the serious messaging of the infinite sides. I mean, Rami, who's in Israel, it takes him a half an hour to get home from the meetings of Parents' Circle. But it takes Bazem hours, because he's got to the checkpoints and different routes. And McCann isn't making judgments here, but he's allowing the reader to observe the differences and you could call it discrimination or call it whatever, but he's just inviting the reader, if you like, to make your own judgment in terms of what's playing out. And they go to a series of meetings, and then they talk about their loss of their two young daughters through both, you know, their own experiences. And both of them give, they're still alive, you see, and he calls it a hybrid novel. And just to add to it, last September, because I met Colin McCann at the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, he was with George Mitchell. And I said to him, I'd love to meet Bazam and Rami. And he said, would you? And so what happened then was, a couple of months later, I went out there last September.
Yeah.
So I rang the ambassador as well. I said, could you track down Rami and Bazam? And I met them.
Oh, wow.
And we had dinner.
Yeah. And were they as impressive as you hoped they'd
be? Oh, yeah. Fantastic, yeah. And they brought two other parents with us.
Yeah.
Roberta, who was... whose son was killed by a Palestinian sniper. She was who had come from South Africa to live in Israel. And a Palestinian mother whose baby at 6 months, because Israeli troops wouldn't allow her through the checkpoint, died for the want of getting to a hospital earlier. And these were people who had great generosity of spirit and who work together. They go to schools, visit schools to try Arab and Jew, basically saying we should reconcile. So that was a wonderful sequel to reading the novel itself. And I recommend it because I just gave you the two instances of Mitterrand and the tightrope walker to say it's much more than just the boat.
Yeah.
If you like, politics and all of that. He has a wealth of historical detail. And the motif is birds throughout the book. And if you look in some copies of the book, you have limited edition where the design is all around birds and the flight of birds and so forth. And it just is beautiful. It is a thing of beauty, this novel.
Yeah.
And I think it holds out that everlasting hope that really the solution to all of this is love, friendship, and mutual understanding of each other's situations. And what I found interesting when I met them in September, they were facing a lot of restrictions. When they go into schools, the far right in Israel attacked them for going to school authorities for allowing them in.
Yeah.
What are you doing this for? And they come up with a lot of opposition, trying to get visas out of Israel to go to America and so on. And they've been to America and they've met with some of the great leaders there to put their case to them. Fascinating.
And I guess we kind of imagine politicians maybe having policy informed by kind of cold policy documents. It sounds like this is the type of book, and even that experience of meeting them is the type of thing that informs your view of the situation there.
Absolutely, yeah. And trying to get to the solution, if you like, and it's not dissimilar to our own experiences in the north and so on. The idea of getting people from different sides to engage, to explain their loss, the loss of a daughter for Rami, as traumatic as it is for Bazam. And Bazam would have been in jail, you know, in an earlier era in his life. And he came to, you know, he read up about the Holocaust when he was in jail. And so both of them were fairly broad-minded. And Rami would be against the occupation as an Israeli Jew. So, but they're quite radical given the situations they're in. It's a great, great read. And you kind of wonder, it's one of those books when you finish, you're kind of sorry that it didn't go on forever.
Sharon is after texting in. Asparagon is, no question, the best book I've ever read in my life. It's almost written by the gods. Hard to believe the level of minute detail. It had me craving more when it ended. So Sharon is in agreement with you on the text line, for what it's worth. So it is firmly up there on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf by Colin McCann. It is Asparagon, and it was published in 2020. Yeah, so it's not that old.
No. And I've given it to a lot of foreign ministers.
Okay.
I kind of say
as a gift.
I mean, I said, have you read Asparagon? Because we're discussing the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I send it as a gift to quite a number of them. They're quite interested. Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Colin McCann, if he's listening, knows where a few royalties are coming from. I'm going to ask you, because we always do, about what you're currently reading, but people always kind of want to mention a couple of other books. It's often hard to pick your one single book.
It's possible. I mean,
particularly, I know where this is going. There's no way you're going to let this slot go without mentioning a Cork author.
How did you know that?
There's a great battle. You can't keep a politician down.
Paperman by Billy O'Callaghan. Have you read it?
No.
Yeah, brilliant story about, again, it's based in Cork, 1980s, 1930s Vienna. This great Austrian footballer, Sindelar. His last game at Austria is at the Anschluss when it's announced against Germany. He kind of mocks the Germans on the pitch, according to the novel. He falls in love with a rural Jewish young woman in Austria. Nazism is growing. He feels she's under pressure. And he says to her, look, haven't you cousins in Ireland? And she travels to Cork, and the documentation has been found in an attic in Cork by this young man. It turns out she was pregnant on the way over. This son is born in Cork, and it's in a place that's affectionately known in Cork as Jewtown, where Lithuanian Jews would have come into Cork in the late 19th century. It's good from a Cork perspective, because, you know, the Sexton pub is named, all the local areas that I would know,
yeah,
all the streets that I would know. And of course, they find all the documentation and they go out with his uncle out to try and find out more about Sindelar.
Okay.
And what happened to him. And I'm not going to spoil the book for anyone, but it's a great, great read. Billy O'Callaghan's a great author. He did Life Sentences a few years ago as well. And I think if he doesn't mind me saying so, I think he's really matured as a first-class novelist. And this is a fine piece of work. The one I've just put down is Face Down, which is by David Blake Knox. It was the form of the documentary on the murder of Thomas Niedermayer.
Oh, yes.
And I just finished it. And because, you know, I don't get a chance to read every time, obviously, but in between the politics.
Yeah.
But this is one that is so traumatic and brings across the brutality, ruthlessness and cruelty of violence. But yeah, also the impact of the trauma on the entire family.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, I mean, Thomas was kidnapped in 1972. He was a German, he came in with a German company, Grundig.
Yeah.
Big news story in the north, in Belfast, nearly 1,000 jobs created. He's sent over by Grundig to manage the operation. And he had gone through terrible trauma in World War II, as had his wife in particular, Ingeborg. Her family were devastated by the Russians reclaiming, come into Prussia, East Prussia, I think, in particular. And many of her family were killed and raped and so forth. And she emerged from that, met Thomas, they married. They came to Belfast not expecting anything in the early 60s before the Troubles. He's kidnapped in 1972. He endeavours to escape. He is, it seems from the novel that he's, or the book, he's nailed on, he's hammered, he's got belts to the head and he's killed.
Yeah.
But they disappear him,
yeah,
in a dump, and they tell nobody and they don't tell the wife Ingeborg. So she's from about 72 to 1980, not knowing what happened to her husband, where he is. It's unbelievable cruelty. And it lies were spread by the Provisional IRA. It was the late Brian Keenan who would organise the abduction. And they tell lies. So do the British security forces as well, for different reasons, with loyalism. And that poor woman is listening rumours and rumours and rumours and not being told where, yeah, he was. And when they had a graveyard or a burial ground for him, and she moved back to Germany and back to Belfast, and then she took her own life subsequently. And tragically then, later on in life, her two daughters, Renata and Gabriel, took their lives as well. The trauma followed through. And I think Gabriel's husband, Robin, so the two granddaughters there, who are now determined that this will not occur anymore. You know, that
yeah,
they want to see out, obviously, and make sure
that the devastation
that
ends.
The ends of that generation.
Yeah.
And then, apart from the terrible family trauma in that book, it's a very interesting sort of analysis of Northern Ireland before the Troubles, during the Troubles, and post, if you like, in terms of the peace process and
yeah,
the various things that go on there. Blake Knox is fairly, I think, clear in his views in terms of the futility of the violence and the absolute cruelty of it, and the incredible loss of life that occurred. And what was interesting, you almost get a glimpse of what could have been a different world, in the sense that I didn't realise the 1960s, Northern Ireland was actually heading in the direction, we're kind of almost ahead of the IDA in terms of attracting industry in. Brian Faulkner, of all people,
yeah,
because we have images of Brian Faulkner in terms of the political,
yeah, leader,
but actually as an industry minister, he was to the fore in incentivizing companies to come into Northern
okay,
Ireland to locate, and Grundig would have been one of those, would
yeah,
have been the fruits of that sort of work. And they were talking in terms of a second factory coming in as well. But of course, with everything
and
that
it was
happened,
around that time that I guess the old industrial reputation and power of the North was beginning to wane
a little bit. Correct,
it's the
correct,
start
yeah,
of the end
correct,
of the old
yeah,
Harland
absolutely,
Wolff and
yeah,
all of that.
All of that, yeah, exactly.
So this
yeah,
would have replaced it had history
yeah,
not
yeah,
gone in a different direction.
Exactly, yeah. And he gets to meet one of the guys who would have kidnapped him, or the author met him. And what was interesting, when he was jailed, Ingeborg went to see him. and sort of, I went to see the wife, the family, and said to the wife of the guy who'd been jailed, you're going through a similar trauma to me. You've now lost your husband because of all of this.
Yeah.
Which is an extraordinary thing to do.
Yeah.
So as a human story, it's very traumatic and very sad. And it is, to me, a book that people should read to understand that violence can never be justified in situations like this, and that kind of violence shouldn't be. And we should try and understand not just the trauma the individual gets killed, but the wider trauma and the circle of people that are engulfed by the wider trauma. And so it's a dark book in that sense.
Yeah, but worth the read for everybody listening. Face Down, The Disappearance of Thomas Niedermayer by David Blake Knox. The Paper Man by Billy O'Callaghan got a noble mention. A Paragon by Colin McCann, the book placed and alongside...
A friendly young politician who wants a long life in politics. The Lion and the Unicorn by Richard Aldous.
Okay.
It's about the lives of Gladstone and Disraeli.
Oh, yes.
I read it. I said, I think it was preparing me for a long surgeon in opposition. You know? But they went on for years and decades.
Don't anyone get
too worried. I'm not saying I'm going on for years and decades, but a great read. And he was an academic who was based in Ireland for quite a while, Richard Aldous. Yeah, so it was a great, great book.
There's
many more, but anyway.
Micheál Martin, Tánaiste, thanks a million for joining us on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.